verse 11. So say the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them. And they what? They provoked the Lord to harvest. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, look at verse 13. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreth. Look at verse 16. Verse 14, verse 15, verse 16, verse 17. Yet they will not listen to their... Look at verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up who would deliver them out of the hands of those who would. Okay, so what's the word deliver? Yatsar. It's the same word to save. So the book of Judges is also giving us a pattern of how God is going to save, of how God saves his people. Are we learning something? Are we learning something? So, was Deborah a judge?
Yes.
Yes. Of course she was. Of course she was a prophetess. You guys know her as one. But she was also meant to deliver the people. Of course, she did not go and be shooting arrow in the war now. She just gave the word of the Lord. But she was also a judge. So that's why when the angel came to come and meet Gideon and told Gideon and said, Gideon is the next judge, Gideon was shocked. Because he wasn't part of the big army of Israel. Do you understand? He didn't grow up like that. He didn't have the muscles, the energy. And that's almost funnily how God uses Christ. Christ is born in a manger. Christ is born in a town that nobody really knows. Christ is born to very poor parents. Are you learning something? So, the background of the birth of Christ has already pointed to us that nobody could have actually believed that is Israel's Messiah. Because, of course, Israel would have also thought that the next... Do you know what I'm saying? Israel was also in captivity. I think we've seen that before during the time of Jesus. Do you guys know? They're under the Roman people. They're under Herod. Herod was not really a Jew. Herod was more of like a colonial master. Just what I'm saying. So Herod was basically and so when Jesus now said he's the Messiah, they're like, ah, you Messiah. That's when he appeared before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate said, are you really the Messiah? Because Pilate said that he doesn't have the character. Do you understand? He doesn't fit it. No muscle. All these 12 men, they're probably his bouncers. But those ones, as soon as they heard gunshot, why? The guy will get down there, he's or Japan. You know, they ran him. So that's to show us that, you know. So I you guys saying something. So there's no way, I was just saying that to explain that there's no way you can talk about theology without talking about what? Christology. So when you read the book of Judges, you read Gideon, you read Samson. Of course, I think we said Samson here too before. We said the story of Samson here too before. I mean, Samson is meant to be a judge. He's meant to be the Messiah. Of course, he was. But you know what? Women is a foyer. And they told Samson. I mean, during the birth of Samson, we saw that with the hermeneutics. It's almost the same thing like the birth of Christ. In fact, we're going to see it today. The word Gabriel means man of God. The same exact same words that was used for the angel that came to come and meet Samson's mother. Same thing. Because when Samson's mother told Samson's father that the man of God came, the way the angel introduced himself to Mary was a man of God. So he had a lot of supernatural, but they told him he's a Nazarite, he's not supposed to drink anything, he's not supposed to touch anything or clean, you know. And of course, I told you that if Samson had all the muscles and all the everything, they wouldn't have called that a superpower. So the reason why they were challenged that Samson was because he didn't fit it. The man God uses doesn't fit the category. Are you guys learning something? So Paul will say 1 Corinthians 1 and say, God did not choose the noblest of men. He calls it foolishness. And then Samson. Yeah. And you know, Delilah is not his first wife. He has been choosing other women from. I guess his father called him and said, I don't know pretty girls around the Jews. So he was deliberately violating scriptures because he thought that she needs his grace. This is in the spirit by the spirit. I can get into the spirit anytime. And so she comes to meet him. Let me show you guys something. I don't know. We're that too. We are too early for that. But she comes to me and says, tell me the secret of your power. So you think this? So you really think the secret of... Okay, not even say that. Tell me the secret of your of his power. She said it the first time. Is this so stupid that she was saying? She said, listen, the first time. Tell me the secret of your hair. Tell me the secret of your power. He said, if you tie me with something, I mean, some people came. He knew that they were from her. He didn't see anything. Until the third time, they were all watching Everybody Loves Jennifer.
Drinking red wine. Just touching it. Say
except Matthew 16, you're going to just anywhere where I say, I am the Lord Jesus Christ. He never said so. So just understand what I'm saying. So we're going to look at that. Then the next one is that, of course, our Christology is soteriology. In other words, our study of Christ is our study of salvation. When we are looking at Christ, we're not looking at Christ as a married man, amen, but as our Savior. That is wearing white. Our Savior. The third one is that our soteriology is pneumatology. Our soteriology. God saves us. When we ask your question, why did God save you? God saves us so that we can have what is Spirit. So when we talk about pneumatology, we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit and shall fulfill not the words of God for the flesh. I'm saying Spirit, lust against the flesh, flesh lust against the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, right? Galatians 5, 22-25. We'll talk about the gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now concerning Spirit, our version of having no ignorance to it. Gentiles that are not ashamed by idols that could not speak. No man can say just the Lord by the Spirit, no man can call it Jesus. We cannot say that by the Spirit of God, but for the rest of the same Spirit. There is no ministry, the same Lord. There is no administration, but the same God that works in us. But a manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to God. To one, word of wisdom, to another, word of knowledge, to another, gift of faith, to another, healing, to another, work of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, tongues, interpretation of tongues. I say that this one worketh one and the same. All this worketh one and the same. Divided to every man severally as he wills. Since we have been baptized into Christ, we have been made to drink of the same Spirit. So there's no way we can talk about pneumatology and not mention what the gifts of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 says that there's therefore now no condemnation to the man in Christ Jesus, for the Spirit law of Spirit in Christ has set us free from law of sin, and the word the law would not do. God did condemn sin in the flesh, sending his Son, and in the likeness of the flesh. And this is Brahman, and the Lord who opens in the flesh, but in the Spirit. It says that to be carnally minded is death, to spiritual life, death is life and peace. Those that the flesh cannot please God. I said, but you are not the flesh, but the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God draws you. If any man have the Spirit of Christ, is what? Is none of his. Hallelujah. Verse 14. It says that, as soon as you say to them, he has given the right. Hey, what am I saying? That is not one level. Sorry. Verse 14. It says, you are not the Spirit of slavery. It's too fair, right? But it says, Spirit of what? Adoption. Whereby you can cry and ask Father. So Romans 8 is pneumatology, explaining to us what God's Spirit has done. Ephesians 1:30 says that when you heard the gospel through the gospel of salvation, take a bite of us. There it is, to praise God. It says, no one said that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians 5, stifle not the Spirit. Hallelujah. So we are mentioning the activities of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 as the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:16 as the word baptized, sanctified, and in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you are the temple of God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1, not the promises of God are fulfilled. Yea and amen. It says the fulfillment of the promises that God gave the Spirit as a seal in our hearts. 2 Corinthians 5:5, it says the Spirit is a down payment in our heart. So we have God's Spirit. Say, I have God's Spirit. In my heart. So if somebody asks you that, what is the proof that God has saved you? The proof is that God gave you what? His Spirit. Ezekiel 36, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I will take away the stony heart of flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Isaiah 40, it says, I will sprinkle rivers. I sprinkle waters in the desert places. Again, referring to the Spirit. John 7 says that, am I too fast? John 7 says, if any man thirst, let him come to me. It says, verse 38. He says, I'll give him his, what's 38? 37, let him come to me. And I'll give him to him river water. He said that this is spoken of the Spirit. That's John 7, 37 to 39. Isaiah 11, Isaiah 12. So, there's no way we can talk about the fact that you are born again and you don't have the Spirit of God. John 14, 16, I will give you another comforter. John 14, 26, I'll give you another comforter. John 14, 20, I'll be in you, you'll be in me. And that can only be done by the Spirit of God. John 16, and I'll send this Holy Ghost who is going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Hallelujah. So God gives us the Spirit. Hallelujah. Acts 1, 8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Acts 2, 4, Acts 2, 1. When the Pentecost fully comes, they're all together in one accord. In one place.
He says, and suddenly there came a rushing sound like of wind that filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they appeared with the cloven tongues and kinds of fire. He says, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Act 4, that we always read. He says, when they had prayed, they were filled with boldness. He says, they shook, right? And they were filled with boldness. And one said, they play shook, he shook, he shook. Amen. He says, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. So there's no way you can talk. There's no way you can say you are a believer and you are not charismatic. Do you understand? You're charismatic. That you don't believe in the movements of the Spirit. It's not happening. Hallelujah. Psalm 126 says, when the Lord again turned again the captives of Zion, well, like them that dreamed, our mouths were filled with laughter, our lips were filled with rejoicing, singing, what has the Lord done? Hallelujah. And this can only be done by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So, our soteriology is what is pneumatology. The study of the Spirit. The study of the workings of the Spirit. The study of the gift of the Spirit. I mean, in Acts 5, Peter was in jail. Acts 12, Peter was in jail. And Bible says an angel came to strike him. He says, woke up. He says, Peter was even thinking he was seeing in vision. That means the supernatural was to them very natural. That they were seeing beings anyhow. It was like, even Acts 10, I mean, God was able to look at him 3 times. That's to tell you how dreams and visions and revelations was. People having dreams, visions, and revelations, you are not even knowing, you're arguing. Are you supposed to have? Are you supposed to have? When last did you have a dream and you saw supernatural? When last did you see supernatural? I don't believe in it. That's why I like it like this. Hallelujah. There's the moving of the Spirit. There's the praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Mark 16. He says, this is a follow the revelation, you cast out the shower, speak with new tongues. 1 Corinthians 41. He says, follow after love, convert to prophesy, despite not prophesy. He says that verse 2, for he that speaks in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto who? Unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit speaks mystery. Verse 3, he that prophesies speaketh unto men for edification. Exhortation and comfort. He says that he that speaks from builds himself, he that prophesies exhibits the church. I would that you all speak from, but rather he prophesied. Greater is he that prophesied, that he that speaketh tongues, except he interprets, that the church may receive edifying. 1 Corinthians 14:39, it says, for being not speaking tongues, convert to prophesy. So there's the gift of the Spirit. There is the activity of the Spirit that comes upon when you are saved. So that's not when you join a local assembly and you're not having times when you're just deliberate about the move. Once you come, wait, it's not like it's just once in a while. Do you understand? Okay. And that's how people, when somebody falls down like power of God, everybody will now pause. And say, oh, what happened to her? Because it's not happening every time. But if you're in a church where they're just falling down, we are hearing people scream, shout. It's not new. That's why you cannot last long in an assembly